And we are back with the compilation musical notes program featuring some of the guests that we've had this past year. Our next guest, Steve Jones. What is your most favorite thing about working with the kids at the rock camp?
Just my favorite thing is to see how happy they are, the joy that brings them when they're working together, and the emotions, the array of emotions that they go through from day one to the final show. And people don't see this, but PJ and I are over in the corner bawling our eyes out watching the show, watching them up there, because, you know, working so hard to get to that point and seeing them up there, and even with our own kids, you know, let alone that, but they're all our kids, kind of, you know, and it's just, it's unexplainable how emotional it is.
And to know that all of the adults, all of the musicians with some years on them as far as accomplishment and musical abilities.
Yeah, it's really so great. You know, Eddie Jones, who's the drummer from Head East, he's actually my brother's roommate down in Missouri.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he came up to fill in. Danny Thompson couldn't make it, who was the drummer for Alan Parsons and Scott Weiland. And so Eddie came up to fill in and as a drum instructor. This was a few years ago. And he just couldn't, he was just overwhelmed. He couldn't believe that, you know, how great it was. And he's still talking about it.
The whole thing of music, when I was a kid, I loved music so much. And I shared a bedroom with my sisters, and I always wanted the radio on. So I'd be literally under my blankets listening to music.
I used to do the same thing up in the attic at my parents' house. I'd have the radio. Had this old, old turn dial radio from the 1900s, you know,
right.
Like an old thing.
Yeah.
And I'd be tuning in stations from Canada, or because we were in Eagle River, you know, across the lake, and be getting Thunder Bay, Ontario stations and hearing. But I'd have it so low. And, you know, as you start to decrease the volume, your ears adjust. So it becomes louder, the softer you, and pretty soon I'd be able to get the volume down so low that my parents wouldn't hear it, or my brother across the room wouldn't hear it and yell at me.
Yeah. Tell me about...
This song is called Malaguena, and this is a solo recording from the Orpheum Theater. I think this is from 2015, maybe, a couple of years ago. It's a traditional song, way back to the 1500s or 1600s Spanish. And this is kind of my signature ending song if I was playing a solo show, because it's kind of a flashier song, I guess.
Okay.
Flamenco style Spanish guitar. You know, you're never going to achieve perfection. Never going to be perfect, but you're always going to keep getting better. And when you every milestone that you come across as a musician, when you hurdle over that boundary where you couldn't do it before but now you can, that's going to give you the drive and the push to keep going forward over the next hurdle and the next one. And so just keep practicing.
So the success builds on success, and pretty soon...
Yep. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you're a way cool musician like Steve, so listen up, kids.
Yeah, right. I don't know if I'd go that far.
I've enjoyed our time. Thank you so much.
I have
much.
Too, Chris. Thanks so much.
Our musical notes guest is Bob Hilton.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here to tell us the secret behind your songs.
If people could hear what I hear in my head, I think it would resonate with everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't have the capacity to grab it all. But a lot of the stuff I play, you know, with Steve Jones in the Garden City Hockey Club. And Steve is a great and sensitive musician. Like, he can listen really well. And, like, him and I write a lot of instrumental music that I think is fun, you know? For me, personally, that stuff is fun. And then there's some stuff that I'm making at home that it probably will never be anything other than... But it's just like... It's like a doodling, musical doodling, you know, like a sketchbook or something.
Yeah.
And I just have all this stuff, like oceans of parts and snippets of songs that just make me kind of happy. And then, you know, most of the music I created has been, you know, I've written some songs that had Mike Irish had listened to them, and we had the Uncle Pete's All-Star Barbecue Blues Band thing, and he would arrange horn parts. That kind of stuff I love, you know, and it's like more than... It's like what I wanted, but I didn't know how to do it, and then he did it, and it turned... that's rewarding.
Where did you go? Where have I been? The
I haven't seen you, my friend. So you have to practice, but you have to make it fun. So just find a way to use yourself against yourself. You know, find out how to have fun and just play as much as you can. For many years, that was my bread and butter. And now I'm a lot busier. And so, you know, it's kind of fun to perform on more on my terms than just having to do it to, you know, barely live.
Right.
It's fun to do it for fun.
Yes. Yeah.
To get anywhere, you have to take the first step. You know, so just don't say, well, that's only for people that have talent. Talent is just a product of desire and work. Yes, you can do it. Just if you have that feeling that, like, oh, I just want to so bad, then just use that. That's the motor. You know, the rest of it just goes, you need fuel, I guess, for the motor, but that's my job.
All right.
I mean, I perform a lot, right? So I can generalize a lot. But, you know, you start and you don't kind of feel like it, maybe, or not even that, but it's just not easy. And then, you know, something resonates, you can watch it happen, and then it's like, oh, that was fun. And then so you get a little more bold and you get a little more open, and then it resonates more, and you can, and then they get more energetic. So you get, and then by the time you get done, you A, don't want to be done, and B, you don't want to go to bed or anything. You know, you're just, and those are like, I guess what you'd call a good day at the office.
Bob Hilton.
But I could make your world a better place, huh?
Charlie Parr.
I've mostly been, you know, to the British Isles, you know, England and Scotland and Ireland. I've been there a lot.
Yeah.
I've had record labels in both Ireland and England that have helped me to tour over there quite a bit. I've been through France a good amount. There was a documentary film about me that was made by a Paris film crew, so I've gotten to go over there quite a bit. You know, kind of played by ear is how I've approached this touring thing. I'm not a good traveler. I don't travel well, and I don't like flying. So, you know, once I get going, it's okay, but getting up the gumption to make those kind of plans is intimidating.
I get that. And let's backtrack. Tell me a little bit more about the Paris film crew and the documentary.
Yeah, I was in Sydney, Australia, and I met a guy from Paris who was at my show, and he and I corresponded. He actually said he was always been interested in coming to the United States and asked me about where I was from, and I told him a lot about Duluth and this area, and he wanted to come up, and I told him he should come and visit sometime, and so we kept up an email correspondence for a while, and then I was touring in France, and I played a show in Paris, and he came down, and he makes documentary films with a crew in Paris, and he said he'd been listening to a lot of my music, and he wanted to make a documentary about Duluth and myself. And when he told me that, it didn't sound like it was going to be about me. It sounded more like it was going to be about my town. And they flew a crew over to New York, and they ended up in New York and Brooklyn talking to Wayne Robbins, who's a writer in there. Wayne had written about me at a couple of points, and after talking to Wayne, they rented a car and they drove to Duluth. They drove the right way. They drove up through Michigan and over the bridge and through the UP, and you know, they saw my favorite route to take to Duluth, and they told me they were coming, and they showed up in Duluth, and they spent the next 5 days hanging out making this film. And I had a nice time. I didn't really think much of it, but a year later they had finished a full length documentary about me. It was, you know, my mother and I were mortified. As good Minnesotans, we don't normally, you know, want to have to look at movies about ourselves. There it was.
It's like a bit much.
It really is, and it's embarrassing. So I saw it once, and I'm, you know, I've remained really good friends with the crew that did it, and they're amazing fellas.
I'm looking funny in my eyes.
I'll give you a good quote by one of Jeff's favorite bands from The Wolf here. Widespread panic. Laugh at your own jokes. Wouldn't dare laugh at yourself.
I'd like you to, and feel free, any one of you. How would you describe the sound of Jimmy Hats in a few words?
Oh, man. That's the thing. It's, I mean, we kind of random.
We dust ourselves off every once in a while and play a lot of old songs, but then, you know, we learn a lot of new, you know, it's interesting to see where our interests in music have gone, because we get together and, you know, we always want to appease the crowd and play some covers and stuff that people are going to know too, but at the same time, we're very self-indulgent, so even our covers tend to get a bit weird. So, I mean, we keep it broad, but as far as our musical styles go, you know,
reggae, jam, rock,
yeah,
all around.
I mean, I've always written a lot of my own music outside of the bands I'm in, but with these guys, just like, I do take particular joy in just hanging back on the bass and getting to thump along. I mean, there's a few songs that I think fit the ilk that I've thrown in.
She said a few words to me.
Oh, man. But what I'm trying to say is I love you guys, and
right.
I'm happy we made it here in one piece.
Tell me a little bit about the song Sunshine. I know this is off a previous, and some of the people are even not in the band anymore. A little brief synopsis of Sunshine.
Yeah, the song's not written for anybody in particular. It's just, I don't know, I came home from work one day and just had some words in my head, and it just came out. It was written so long ago, probably close to 10 years, that even if I had an inkling of what it was about, I don't know if I could even manifest words to tell you what it was about.
Luciano Pavarotti. Okay, I'm kidding about Luciano Pavarotti. I just want to see if you're paying attention. I think you would have liked it, though. I would like to thank you for listening, and also thanks to all of my guests this year for sharing their talents on this program. I have enjoyed every one of you. We'll carry the music into the new year. Happy New Year. I'm Chris Cairo for Musical Notes on WCCY.